Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Isaiah Hodgins comes on this radio show every Tuesday, and then every Saturday he runs around and catches touchdown passes. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. Isaiah, welcome. I liked 10 catches. You're doing your thing again.
I know. I fell short of 12, but I'm going to try to get there this week.
Three touchdowns, though. What did that feel like? What's that feel like, you know, when you get it going early and then you just keep, you guys kept it going?
Yeah, it feels really good, and you know, it was my first time scoring 3 touchdowns in the game, so you know, that was really big for me and a big confidence boost. And you know, as you said, I feel like just starting early is always, you know, really big, and especially getting that first touchdown catch early, you just feel like you can get one or two more throughout the game, and you know, kind of just set you up well for the rest of the game.
Did you ever score 3 as a kid or high school or anywhere?
Oh yeah, there was a time in high school where I scored like 5 or 6, I think, like. They weren't all receiving, but you know, I think my most receiving in high school was like 4, and then I had like a pick 6 and a punt return too.
Did you ever come off the field in high school?
No, like not like it rarely. It was like, you know, my dad was my coach, and he's always super hard on me. So you know, I could be hurt, I could be tired, whatever, and he wouldn't let me come off unless it was like, you know, drastic.
I saw Jake Luton run for a touchdown. That was fun.
Yeah, he's looking fast out there. He's trying to. Trying to prove he's a dual threat.
Did you know, did you get that call in the huddle, or do you talk to him after? Was he laughing or smiling about it?
Yeah, I actually wasn't even in on the play. Like, I came out for that play, and because there was a motion, and yeah. Champ was our motion guy, and I thought it was just like, I didn't know the play call, but I assumed, you know, there's like 1 minute left. I was like, oh, we're just going to keep running the ball and run the clock out. I thought we were going to take a knee, and then Jake just pulls it and goes out and starts running, and I was laughing real hard on the sideline, like, no way, this dude just scored. Like, and I know he was super excited and keeped up for that.
I looked back at the roster in 2016 was the last time that Oregon State won back-to-back games, and Adley Rutschman was a kicker on that team, and Artavis Pierce was a freshman, and you know, you guys have another chance here at a win streak. What would that mean to you?
That would be huge, and especially coming it's a ranked team here for Corvallis, and you know, coming off a big road win, and you know, I just feel like, you know, that would, as you mentioned, just 2 back-to-back wins would just be huge for this program and this team, and especially against a well-talented team like Utah.
You guys are within 2 field goals of being a 4-1 team. Does it feel like you're that close to it, or what does that feel like?
Yeah, it definitely just feels like we're right there. And, you know, there haven't been really any games this year where it's just like, oh, we're losing by 30, or it's just total domination or anything. So we know we're right there. We know we're a very good team. And, you know, defense has been playing very well these past couple of weeks, and, you know, stopping the run and, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback. And offense has been rolling, and we finally put together a complete game. So, you know, we just have to keep doing that.
Everybody every week starts their game plan on the defensive side of the ball saying, we can't let Isaiah Hodgins beat us. How does Isaiah Hodgins keep beating people under that circumstance?
I just think that just goes to, you know, just our preparation, the team, and just kind of our coaches and making sure I'm in the right spot and emotionally putting me in the slot or outside and confusing defenses. And, you know, just Coach Spence, Coach Lincoln do a real good job of that, and Coach Smith as well, just trying to make sure I'm all over the place. And it really just goes down to our preparation all over. And I always try to make sure that no corner, no defense will ever outwork me, out-prepare me coming up to the week. And if they make a play on me in the game or whatever, then they do that. But I know that I'll always be the most prepared going into every game.
The celebration in the locker room after a win like that, what is that like?
I was kind of mad. Like, I was doing the Pac-12 TV interview and stuff on the field, and then I ran in, and they were already, like, just finishing the fight song and stuff. And jumping around, and I was like, dang, like, this is why I don't like getting interviewed after games, because you get to miss all the fun and jumping around and stuff. But, you know, there was still a little bit more after that, and, you know, it was just fun to be a part of.
It's neat to see the enthusiasm. I was, you know, I have some neighbors who are Beaver fans. They had their gear on the next day. It's like, you know, their flags are out all of a sudden. It's like the Ducks and the Beavers are all good again. And offensively, you guys are fun to watch. So tell me what's going on there. What are the coaches doing to get you guys involved and make it look so creative?
Yeah, just as you said, just being creative. And the coaches, like, they wow me every week of just, like, the game plans that they have and coming in. And they study the opponent so well, and they know, like, okay, like, this is what we're going to do to mix things up. And they run this coverage, so I think this route concept would be very good. And these motions or plays and different run schemes, and they just get so creative and so good. And they bring up stuff that, you know, different coaches have ran from the past years, or, you know, just different schemes that they like. And I just feel like, you know, they do a great job week in and week out just mixing it up.
Isaiah Hodgins, Oregon State wide receiver with us. You look at Utah on film. They are very physical. They got a front seven that will come after you. What else do you see?
You know, just as you said, I think very physical, very well coached, and they're very good on the back end as well, and they have very good DBs, and, you know, they have one of the best DBs in the pack, Jalen Johnson, who I used to go against in high school at 707, and I know him, and we followed each other for a while on Twitter and everything, so, you know, I'm excited to go against him again, and I feel like it'll be a very good matchup. And, you know, just week in and week out in the Pac-12, you're always going against a top DB in the Pac-12. And, you know, the Pac-12 is full of, you know, just great defenses and great DBs. So, you know, I'm definitely excited for that matchup.
What do you make of the Pac-12 itself? Because you must look around and you see Stanford beating Washington. And every week we get one of those games or two of those games where somebody beats somebody. What's going on?
Just that it's open and it's just really competitive. And, you know, any given week, you know, as you mentioned, like, Washington came into that game and they were like 14-point favorites or something. Then they go in and, you know, Stanford beats them by 10. And, you know, there's just always games like that where people are favorites and stuff. And, you know, someone's predicted to win and then the other team just pulls it out, which is why you just have to, you know, prepare and really bring it every single week.
Isaiah, the families there in the Rose Bowl, the Beaver fans who showed up there were loud and they were noticeable. What is that like to play a game and you see you're in a hostile stadium far away and you look up and you see your fans down in the corner of the end zone?
Yeah, there was a lot of them, and I was actually surprised. Like, there was like a whole section, like, from top to bottom, just full of Beaver fans, and especially at the end of the game, it started getting loud and cheering, and, you know, we were getting fired up and stuff, and it was just really cool to see that, you know, the travel, you know, how many Beaver fans we have just in different areas, and, you know, it's definitely just fun to see.
I love that, you know, we talk about getting you touches every week. I think 10 a game is fine. You know, 130 catches this season would be all right. It's insane to me, though, because if I'm a defense, I go, Isaiah's not beating me. He's not getting five balls this game. And yet you go out and it just happens over and over. And these are not terrible defenses. When you looked up at UCLA and you look up this week against Utah and you say you see guys that you've seen all the way since high school, is that fun for you to see these guys two or three, 4 years later?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, just like last week with Darnay Holmes, I remember playing his team in 707 in L.A., and, you know, just like, you know, finally getting to meet up again and match up just in college, like when we're all juniors now and stuff, like it's pretty crazy to see. So it definitely is fun, and it kind of brings a throw to it and brings a little rivalry and, you know, it just makes it more exciting and competitive.
On the trip there and on the trip back, how different is that plane ride?
The trip back was amazing, and there was just a different buzz on the plane, you know, and people were more relaxed and happy and actually, like, relieved and stuff, and, you know, everyone was kind of in a good mood, and it was just kind of nice to get that plane ride home with the win.
You guys have a chance here, you know, as I look at your conference schedule, there's opportunities that'll present themselves if, you know, and I don't want to say bowl game for you guys because I think you should be sitting on three or four wins and we should be talking about a bowl game, but I think you're creeping in that direction. Is this a better team than two or three weeks ago, or have you just learned to finish?
Yeah, I think it is a better team because of that. And I think, you know, just week in and week out, we're trying to make improvements. And, you know, I think coaches have done a good job of making sure that we don't get too high this game. And, you know, it's just one win. We got to go on to the next. And, you know, we're a better team than we were in week one. And we're finally learning how to finish and play games. So we just have to continue to do that.
We go to a movie, and you get to pick the movie. What are we seeing?
Right now, The Joker. I haven't seen it yet. I kind of heard a lot of buzz about it, so I kind of want to judge it myself.
I'm a little afraid to see it because everybody's saying it's so heavy.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I don't know. I'm not like a huge scary movie person, but I'll go see The Joker.
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, I want to go to a movie that I leave happy. You know, I'm sure I want to walk out of there. Can you go to a movie by yourself, or is that a lonely thing to do?
I always thought that was kind of weird. Like, there's a lot of people on our team who actually do that, but I've never just been like a movie by yourself type of person. It always has to be like a friend or my wife or somebody, but never by yourself, I think. I mean, I guess you can, and if that's your preference, then cool. I just feel like it's kind of awkward, like, you know, just like eating dinner by yourself or going to a movie by yourself. Like, it's just kind of weird.
Kind of a, you know, you walk in and they're like, just you? Yeah, just me. Thanks for reminding me. Do you get popcorn at the movie?
I try to, but during the season, I have to try to, you know, try to cut back on some of that stuff. So it's kind of hard. It's why I don't like going to movies, because I know if I go, I'm going to get candy and popcorn and Slurpee and everything. But, you know, I try to watch my diet as much as I can, but I kind of do have a sweet tooth.
All right. 10 catches this week against Utah, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, cool. Appreciate it, man.
All right. I'll see you on Saturday at the stadium. There's Isaiah Hodgins, wide receiver, Oregon State, who has just been on fire this season. And I, you know, at the beginning of the year, it was he has a chance to be the best receiver in the conference, or one of the best. At this point, the kid from Colorado is really good. Washington State has a couple of guys that are good. And I think you look at Isaiah Hodgins, though, as a guy who has size, who, despite the fact that the defense knows that he is a threat, is getting it done, and a guy who has separation speed. And that's really, I think, what makes him NFL ready. And I don't know that we're going to see another season of Isaiah Hodgins at Oregon State. At this rate, I kind of am wondering what is his next season going to be like? We're not even talking that stuff yet, but he feels like a guy who's NFL ready. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, and I had a deep discussion about the Pac-12 conference, and you'll hear it next.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Never done this before in the history of this radio show. Never have done what I'm about to do. John Wilner, the fine reporter at the San Jose Mercury News who covers the Pac-12 conference, called me up the other day. He said, I got an idea. He goes, I want you to lead a discussion about the Pac-12 conference with me. He said, I'll record it on my end, you record it on your end, and we will both utilize it. I said, I like that. Let's do it. So I was holed up in my studio. Wilner was holed up in his studio. I thought it'd be about a 10 or 15 minute conversation, but it was so good and so deep. And really about 4 or 5 minutes in, we were so into it that it spanned about 50 minutes. I've cut it up. I've taken the best parts out, and I'm going to play it right now. Keep in mind, this is John Wilner in the Bay Area, in his studio, me in the state of Oregon, the great state of Oregon, best state in the country. Washington probably second. I'm not pandering. And the discussion started with a question. It was, what does this conference need to do in the next 10 years? What does it need in the next 10 years? Here's that discussion. It starts with me sort of introducing the first thing that I think the Pac-12 conference needs. Wilner, I think one of the things that pops to mind is I think this conference in football and in basketball needs a flag bearer. Like, it needs Clemson to the ACC. And I know there are several candidates that might step forward and be that team, but who is that program, and do you agree with that?
I totally agree. And I think that's part of the problem now is that the brand schools, USC in football, UCLA in Arizona in men's basketball, are all struggling at the same time and for different reasons, right? Arizona basketball's problems are much different than USC's football problems. But all three are really scrapping along, and that affects everything.
I think, you know, I look at USC in football, Washington in football, Oregon in football, maybe even Utah in football, and I say one of those has got to really separate itself, and it would help if it was USC from the conference's standpoint, because when USC was a benchmark, beating USC meant something. It validated Oregon. It validated Stanford. It became, USC and everybody else was the narrative for a while, but that was far better than where they are today.
Oh, absolutely. Just think about what it would be like if Ohio State was 5-7 and how we would view the Big Ten, right? Or how would the ACC be viewed right now if there were no Clemson, right? Because Florida State and Miami are not doing very well. Clemson has lifted that entire conference, gives that conference a presence on the national stage.
One more thing that, you know, in basketball, too, I feel like it's the same thing. Like, Oregon is... had a Final Four, and Arizona certainly beat up now, but Arizona, UCLA, Oregon in basketball, somebody again needs to pick up the flag and carry it for the conference. One of the other things that goes into that in football especially is I feel like the conference has been more reactive than proactive. Like, this is supposed to be the Pac-12, right, Wilner? I mean, we've got all these great ideas, technology capital of the world, Silicon Valley, LA, and I feel like the conference right now is so reactive. It's responding. It's trying to keep pace. Its ideas are, hey, the Big Ten or the SEC does that, so now we'll do it. And I would like to see the conference be more forward-thinking and do some things that get the attention of the SEC and the Big Ten, where they go, oh, we better follow the Pac-12, because I just don't see that kind of thinking right now.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. One example for sure is on the basketball front, taking the 20-game conference schedule, which several...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.